If you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tonight. And I don't know that I've ever really preached a message here about money, but that's what the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. And so you pray for me. It's a new message, and this isn't the stage you want to preach a new message on, amen. But I want to honor the Lord and do what He told me to do. And I'm grateful. I really appreciate the Ellis family. We've got to be now in about 3 or 4 meetings and this year together. Grateful for that. And but I shouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Calvary. I mean, you think about my family. You think about I was just in Cleveland or close to it last week and left there Thursday night, drove home all Thursday night to get home for Friday morning, had some things to do. And that is where I grew up at, and there I lived above a bar. And if it wasn't for God and the grace of God, I wouldn't even be here tonight. And I'm very grateful for the things of God, and I appreciate Brother Simpson's message, of course. And I wish that I had that kind of mind. I really do. I envy that. God has really blessed him with the ability. But God will use us who we are, and I'm grateful for that tonight as well. And I'm just glad he's not God, because he might zap me, amen? And hallelujah for that, amen? But anyway, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I really never have really dealt with this passage of Scripture much. And but God spoke to me a few weeks ago, and we began to look at it. And so really, for a sake of a better title, I want to call it The Truth About Dollars. That's what I want to preach on. Look in verse 1, if you will. He said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Can I say tonight, it's an honor to give to missions. I pray that when you give your mission dollars, and hopefully there's nobody here that doesn't give, but when you give your mission dollars, it ought to be an honor for you that God would allow you to give back to Him what He's already given you. What a blessing to give money to the Lord to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad, thank God, that somebody kept the lights on where I got saved. And I'm glad, thank God, somebody put money in the plate and kept that little old van running to come across town and pick me up. I'm glad, thank God, that somebody was willing to tithe and keep the tires on the van. Had it not been, I wouldn't be here tonight. I thank God, hallelujah, for somebody that was willing to give. What an honor to give to the work of God, that He would allow us to give our money, hallelujah, to spread the gospel. There's no greater story there is to tell that Jesus died for all sinners. I thank God for the privilege that I've had for 30 years to go up and down the road and to preach the gospel. What a privilege. Privilege, hallelujah. Hallelujah, what a privilege. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. What a privilege. That may be all I get to, but hallelujah. What a privilege. Amen. For 30 years, I've got to go up and down the road to this country and preach the word of God. Oh, what a privilege. I was 2 weeks ago in a little town in Louisiana, and it was one of those handfuls, Brother Chris. We had maybe 25, but there's a young lady in that church that her daddy's gone. He's in prison, but she got right with God, and she began to work. It just takes one teenager, and she goes to a local college, and a few months ago, she got this young man to come, and he got born again. again. And then she got another one to come. And through that meeting, there was three people saved. And two of them, because of that young lady, 19 or 20 years old, that got a burden for the souls of men. What a privilege to be able to go. Thank God and tell people about Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, sometime you show up in them little churches and like you say, we think, here we go again. But I'm telling you, God moved in that place. Hey, it don't matter to me how many's there, as long as God will show up and save an old sinner. Thank God. I just like being around where it happens. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said in verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that is begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance, knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Oh, God, help us tonight. What a blessed Lord. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's toward the end of my message, but I'm just overwhelmed at the good grace of God. I was thinking while they were singing and Brother Chris was preaching, how in the world did I ever get up here? How in the world did God ever reach down? Thank God in Cleveland, Ohio, pick me up and save me by his grace and put me in the ministry, counting me faithful. I bless his holy name. Amen. Hallelujah, I say, I bless his holy name. There's not a one of us in this building that deserve to be a preacher. It's the good grace of God that he called us and put us in the ministry. I don't know about you. I didn't volunteer. I was drafted. Amen. I got a call from another world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A real man of God is a called man of God. Amen. I'm just going to really go through this real quick tonight. We find in verse 1, he deals with the reason for this passage. He wanted them to know, the Corinthian church, about the Macedonian churches and their giving. But then he dealt with the riches of grace, how the grace was bestowed upon them. You know, a lot of time when we think of God being good to us, we always think about money. But they were poor. The Macedonian churches didn't have any money. You know what kind of riches he bestowed on, number one, salvation. Brother Sam, if we didn't have a nickel in our pocket, the fact that we never spend a night in the charred walls of the damned, thank God that is the grace of God that has been bestowed upon us. God has been good to me. I have enjoyed life. But if he never gave me another dollar, if he never put another offering in my hand, thank God I'm saved, saved, saved. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's a riches of his grace that was bestowed upon them. I thought about the scriptures. The man of God, I'm talking about the word of God. He said, sing that song about that King James Bible. Don't you thank God for your King James Bible? Amen. I thank God for the truth of it. You know what? They don't like it today, but that's just too bad for them. I'm not changing. Hallelujah. Amen. I thought about satisfaction that we have through the fellowship of God. Think about, Brother Laddie, that God allows you and I to fellowship with him. Can I tell you, I'm happy in Jesus tonight. I'm satisfied. Praise God. Brother Jeremy, I'm satisfied tonight. I'm not looking for anything else. Amen. The satisfaction, the riches of His grace, our safety, His supplies and provides for us. Then we know the recipient of this grace, the Macedonian church is. Brother Ellis, that is Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. They are the ones. I'm going to give you two things tonight. Number one, we find in verse 2 through 6, the example that he deals with of giving. We find that he commends the churches of Macedonia. Paul had a burden for the poor of Jerusalem. I was reading a fellow and he said maybe because that Paul might have been some of the reason why that they were widows and orphans because of him persecuting the church. He had a burden for these people, the saints of Jerusalem. I can understand that. He deals with the fact, he commends them because of their persecution. We know that they endured persecution. We know that they endured imprisonments and confiscation of goods. He dealt with them and said, thank God for you, even though you've been persecuted. You know, Baptists, I preach to Baptists because that's what I am. Amen. But Baptists, I mean, boy, if something just turns up a little bit against what they don't like, they're ready to just throw in the towel and to give up. God help us. This crowd was persecuted and they had joy. What about that? Number two, he dealt with their deep poverty, which was extensive. They're the ones who just had a handful of meal in their barrels. Their purse, if you will, was almost empty. You know what they were? They were poor, but they were happy.
That's right.
Oh, I'd rather have Jesus. How about you? You know, a lot of times you think that money's going to make you happy. Money don't bring happiness. You know what brings happiness, Brother Sam? Joy in Jesus. Now, sure, everybody likes to. If you don't like to spend money, you're lying. Amen. Everybody likes to spend money. But I'll tell you, it don't cause and create happiness. We see their deep poverty. I mean deep poverty. Deep poverty, Brother Anthony, deep poverty. And we find that we see their dynamic power that by which they gave. They were empowered to give because of their love. They went beyond. Here they are broke. They don't have anything. And they want to give because they love Him.
Amen.
You know what makes me have no problem? I've never struggled writing my mission check. Never.
Amen.
I've never struggled writing my tithing check. Never. Brother Ellis, you know, there's things we all struggle with, but that is one that I have never struggled with. I've never wanted not to give. I'm overwhelmed that He's been so good to me. It's the least that I can do. I hope you're not one of them tithers that if it's a $57.23 that you write it that way. You just can't give God $58 or you couldn't give Him $60. God help us. Amen. I'm telling you, He deserved everything because He gave us everything. Oh, it don't bother me when I give more than my 10% and I give a missions. Amen. That don't bother me a bit. I'm so glad. Thank God how good He has been to me. He's been much better to me than what I deserve tonight. I'm glad to give and thank God it's a joy to give. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Their dynamic power, their determined purpose. It seems by this text that they begged Paul, that the church of Macedonia begged Paul that they could give even though they had nothing to give.
Yes.
Can I say a lot of us, we can give out of abundance. The woman gave all she had. And then there were some that gave out of their abundance. You know what I found out a long time ago? If you give when you don't have it, there'll be a day it won't hurt as bad to give.
That's right.
When the pastor says we need a special offering, you know what? When I first started, I didn't hardly have anything. I remember I was living in Mississippi, and Brother Sammy Allen, first time I ever met Brother Sammy Allen, and he came to Mississippi and he preached for old Brother Marion Atkinson. He was preaching there in Amory where Brother Jason was. And so he had that jug down there. You know how he has the jug. And he said, bring your change, bring your change. Man, I had $9 saved up. That's all I had. Man, I was making nothing. And the Lord said, I want you to bring that change. I said, Brother Grant, I said to the Lord, now you know that's all I got. Man, that's all I have. I have no savings. I have nothing else. And we're saving that to spend on ourselves. He said, no, you're not. You're going to bring it to me. You're going to put it in that jug on tomorrow night. And you know what I did? I put it in that jug on the next night. Well, you know what happened only about 2 weeks ago, or 2 weeks later, excuse me. I went somewhere, wasn't expecting to preach. And I preached that night, and they took up some money. We're talking about 1992. And they gave me like $300 or $400. And you know what the Lord said to me? If you'll obey me, I'll take care of you. Amen? You can't outgive him. I'm telling you, if you give, he'll give it back. And you'll give more, and he'll give it back. I'm telling you, he'll have men given to your bosom. You cannot outgive God. Amen. Amen. They had a determined purpose by which they gave. Then we find in verse 5 a divine principle. They gave themselves. Can I say, if the Lord has you, he'll have your money. If he has you. The person who struggles to give their offerings and their tithe and their missions, they've never surrendered to the Lord.
Amen.
Because they're afraid. But man, God's going to take everything I got. Isn't that amazing, Brother Chris, what he told him? Don't take no purse. Don't take an extra pair of shoes. Just trust me. And you know what? You can trust God.
Yep.
If God says, and the preacher has asked us to increase our mission giving at least by $25. Of course, ever since, thank the Lord, every meeting we've had, I've increased every year. And you know what God has done? He's blessed me every year. He has blessed me. I remember the first year we had a missions conference, and I gave more, up my missions. And that Saturday, I was heading somewhere, and a preacher called me and said, we just took you on. Guess what it was for? It's for the amount that I just gave extra. Well, then it wasn't three days later, another fellow called me and said, guess what? We decided to take you on for support. So it's double what I gave. You see what I'm saying? And you cannot outgive the Lord. I hope you understand that tonight. I know we're talking about money, but money's about missions. Amen? It takes money to get people everywhere to preach the word of God. Somebody's got to pay. Amen. I was last week in Lodi, Ohio, close to Cleveland. There's a missionary from Liberia there staying in the prophet's chamber. You're talking about poor. Brother Sykes, they don't have anything. They eat one meal a day, and it's some kind of rice and some kind of like our potato. They eat anywhere from between 2 and 4, and that's it. They don't have nothing else. When you were talking, Brother Sykes, about comfortable, I said to myself, Lord, we're spoiled. We really are. We are spoiled. If we go stay somewhere and we don't like it, we'll go somewhere else. Let's just be honest. We've got it better than we ever had it in our life. Amen. And I like it. I'm not complaining, but what I'm saying is we're spoiled. God help us. Amen. We find not only Paul commissioned, or we see commending, but then we see in verse 6, he commissioned Titus to go back to the Corinthian church to try to help them with their giving. We see the example, number 2, and I'm almost done. We see the exhorting in verse 7 through 12 in giving. You know what he did? He praises them about how they're abounding in grace. He praises them about their conversion, about their faith, their salvation, about their competence, their utterance, how they have communicative skills and they can express their faith, about their comprehension, about their knowledge. And you know what? We need to study the Bible so that we have the ability to lead someone to Christ. You should know. You know what? If you haven't experienced it, you need to lead someone to Christ. It's a great joy. We're missionaries in our own neighborhood. Amen. I'm working on a neighbor of mine. I've been praying and working with him and want to see him born again. We're missionaries wherever we go, not just the ones that are here, going to New Mexico and going over here, and Brother Lamar and others working in the schools. And they're not the only missionaries. We all are, amen. We all are. God help us, amen. We see their commitment. He said their diligence. You know what? If you make a promise and a pledge to missions, keep your commitment.
That's right.
Do without a Pepsi Cola first.
Amen.
Do without a fishing rod first.
Right.
If you make a commitment, then you stick with that.
Amen. That's the truth.
I remember several years ago, I was working two jobs. I was working at the children's home and making $300 a month between me and Patty. And so when we moved to Mississippi, we had nothing. So I remember working two jobs, and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to have to cut back on my missions. I said, I just can't give. I'm trying to tithe and give, and I'm just going to have to cut back some of my missions. Brother Ellis, I did that for 2 months. He didn't rebuke me. One day he just said, start back giving, just like that. I knew who that was. You know what I did? I start back giving.
Yeah.
I didn't get no pay increase, but you know what happened? I was able to meet those missions. Right. What about that? Right. Because, amen, that I had a commitment. If you got a commitment, then you need to do what you commit. When you sign that you're going to do that, then you need to do that. Amen. Oh, yeah. You may not be able to enjoy your hobby as much, but I'm telling you, I'd rather lay up some treasure on the other side than I would down here. I want a bigger bank account over there than I have down here, because everything down here, it's going to all pass away someday. But thank God, what's over yonder, that'll last forever. Amen. Amen. I can't wait to get to heaven and someone say, you know what? Your mission dollars helped me to get born again. The preacher came and your church supported me. Hallelujah. You know what? That's going to happen because of our commitment. Amen. Then he talked about their compassion. He said their love for him. He commended them about these things. And so he not only praised them, but then he pleased with them in verse 8. He deals with the saints of God. You know what? You're not obligated to give in special offerings.
Right.
You're really not, but you ought to want to give.
Amen.
There are times when I've been in a service, and the preacher say, you know, we got a missionary here, or we got a problem, someone needs some help. And man, I may not have much, but I'm going to at least try to give something. I'm going to at least try to give something. We're not obligated. Paul wanted them in verse 8. He wanted them to give because they wanted to. It ought to be cheerful for you to put your tithe in on Sunday morning. You ought not ever say, boy, I sure could use that money.
That's right.
Patty a time or two, and she don't mean it in the wrong way, but she'd say, man, we'd have more if we didn't give so much. You know what I said? I said, no, we wouldn't, because God wouldn't give us what we got. He gives us more so we can give more.
That's right.
Amen. And then you give more, then he gives you more, and then you give more. Hallelujah. And then what you're doing in the process is laying up treasure in heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing wrong of thinking about and planning for your future. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I'm trying to do a little bit of that myself, but I'm telling you, I'd rather have more over there than I do over here. Yeah. Amen. I don't understand people. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand people. I've been in services. I was in a service one time, and it's down in Florida, and the air conditioner went out. And I'll be honest with you, it was hot. It's hot. So the pastor said, you know what? We're going to take up money. We're going to raise money to buy the air conditioner so Brother Barnes don't pass out while he's preaching. I said, I second the motion. Amen. And so everybody gave. There was an individual in there that had retired. And they had $500,000 in the bank. You know what they gave? About like $50. People that didn't have nothing was given $100 and $200. And I thought, God help them. I don't know how they could sleep at night knowing that they could come up to the pastor quietly and say, whatever it is, preacher, I'll write a check for that. $500,000. And to be honest with you, and I'm not being mean, to be honest with you, they're going to leave it to kids that won't work and they're dope addicts. I wouldn't leave that crowd anything. You hear me? I'd put it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd rather thank God somebody go tell someone about Jesus than leave my money to children that would burn it up in dope or drugs and everything else. Amen. I hope I didn't make you mad. I'm just being honest. Amen. He pleased with them. He's dealt with the saints of God. But then verse 9, he gives a personal example of giving. He deals with the Son of God. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He was rich. He lived where the streets were gold. Brother Grant, he lived where the walls were made of jasper, the gates of pearl. He lived where he had ministers of flaming fire. He lived, thank God, where the four beasts gather around the throne and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That's where he lived. He was rich. Oh, listen, surrounded by enormous galaxies ablaze with stars. And I'm telling you, that's where he lived. He was rich. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. But then he became poor. Brother Samuel, that was our gain. He was born in a borrowed stable. He borrowed a lunch to feed a multitude. He borrowed a donkey to ride on. He borrowed a penny to confuse the critics. He borrowed Peter's boat. He borrowed an upper room. He borrowed a tomb. Of course, we know he wasn't going to stay there long. But the cross, now that was his own. He who was rich. I was so poor. I was so poor and sin sick. But Brother Sasser, he who was rich, he gave that all up to come to this old earth that I might be made rich in him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, and I know you may think more than yourself than you should, but he didn't get anything when he got you and me. Oh, he didn't get anything. We're the ones who gained it all. Thank God, I'm glad, hallelujah, he was willing to become poor, that I who was poor might be made rich. I'm rich beyond measure. I'm glad I found a treasure. When I met Jesus, it gives me pleasure. Thank God this world cannot give. I've been telling you, I'm grateful tonight to be in a family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We find Ephesians 1 verse 17. He gave us, or verse 7, excuse me, the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory, verse 18. Ephesians 2, 4, he's rich in mercy. Oh man. How many times, Brother Grant, I've needed that. Mercy. Fail him again and again and again, over and over and over. Call out for mercy. He extends it every time. What a God. Times we get cold. Some of you may be cold, indifferent tonight. I promise you, if you call out for mercy, he'll meet you at the altar. Thank God he is rich. Then we see the pledge number 4 of giving. In verse 10, he deals with the fact that a year ago they had promised. In verse 11, he deals with their performance in giving. And God help us tonight to do our part. And then lastly, we see in verse 12, the plan in giving is with a willing mind. God don't want you to give grudgingly or out of necessity. He wants you to give willingly. When you increase your giving, and if you can increase it, then pray God help you to increase it. Maybe you can't mark that you're going to give any extra this year, but maybe God through the year will help you and you can give some extra. But the plan in giving is to have a willing mind. That's what you want to do. It takes money to operate. It takes money to send people across the world. That preacher that was there last week, the pastor, his brother Dana's nephew, Brother Joe Williams, he has stayed in his prophet's chamber for the last 3 weeks. Brother Joe every day has taken him and looked up tools on Marketplace and has run him all across the area of Ohio buying things. They're going to put it in barrels and ship it back because they have nothing over there. And I would sit in my room and I'd say, "Lord, help me never, ever to be complacent. You've been so good to me."
That's right.
I don't ever want to say, well, I think I give enough. I'm going to tell you something. You can't ever outgive God.
Amen.
Maybe there's someone tonight that you actually have kind of backed up on your mission giving. I don't know. I just know God put this on my heart a few weeks ago, and I just know that it's an honor tonight to be able to give. It's an honor to be a part of Bible Baptist Church. I'm grateful for you all. I love you very much. You're precious people, and I know you're giving people. But just remember, to go, someone's got to give. Thank you, preacher.